Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 tonight. And I've entitled this, An Unlikely Believer. And you know what? Some of the amazing things as I look at the Bible, that there are people that become Christians that may be wealthy but poor. Some might have a decent reputation, but also many have a not so good reputation. The latter is the case of this evening's message. Perhaps one of the greatest texts in the Bible, that God is for all of humanity, not just the Jews or just a select group of people, that God is desirous of a relationship with every person. You might have a tattered past. You might have something of some cobwebs in the closet behind of some things you are regret. But it does not matter with the Lord that we can come to Him and He will forgive us. Joshua chapter 1 tonight, there is a Bible in your pew if you'd like to avail yourself one, if you don't have one. But in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible tells us, And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. She's saying, I don't know where they went. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. For she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. But the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver lives from death. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. An interesting passage of Scripture is she mentioned in verse 11 of God's power over Egypt, God's power over the Red Sea. 40 years prior, the news of Israel's deliverance reached Canaan land. It was the news of God's power that would end up bringing them to a reaction, to a realization that it was God that got Israel out of Egypt. In God's Word and the truth of His power, they impact lives, whether we think so or not. They had heard the news that God got a full nation across the Red Sea on dry land and had killed the Egyptian army. When God works and the power of God works in lives, others take notice. Isaiah 55 verse 8, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 11, Isaiah 55, So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And think about this. For 40 years, I mentioned this last week, but for 40 years, the residents of Canaan had been waiting for, in their minds, the attack of the Jewish people. Joshua had been waiting 40 years for God's promises, and he didn't want to make the same mistake again. It was the whining of God's people that kept them from the promised land, the complaining. Now, I want to ask you tonight, who was it that comprised much of the early church there in Jerusalem? It was not the staunchly Jewish religious man. It was not the wealthy man. It was not the academically astute man in most cases. It was the humble man, the outcast man, the down and out of society that Christ reached. Why? The rest of the crowd was busy complaining and finding fault with Christ and Christianity. Well, those who realized their need looked for an answer and found it solely in Jesus Christ. The very people that our church desires to reach. When God did the work on this building and just not too long ago, God did a great work. God brought people with a desire to serve the Lord. And the desire of this church is that we would have to see lives transformed, changed. Lives find hope. And church, if we want to see growth, it will not come from the religious crowd. It's going to come from Jesus Christ leading us to those who are in need and need truth. We must be willing to get out of our comfort zones and reach those that are seeking, and willing to associate sometimes with those outside of our circles of influence, just as Christ did. Let His healing of lives produce an unmistakable testimony of the power of God. You see, when we get to the heartbeat of God and the holiness of God, we'll receive the rewards and blessings of God. And these spies, they go and they stay in the home of a woman whose reputation was that of a harlot or a prostitute. I'm telling you, God's desire is to reach all people. It was those who had been forgiven much and truly appreciated the Lord who would do much for him. And Rahab's life of faith teaches us many lessons about a young faith, a bold courage, and a servant's care. Man, she didn't care what others thought. She just wanted to please the Lord with her life. It didn't matter the reputation. When she got a glimpse of what God could do, it changed everything. We must not look on others as the world looks, but as Christ looks. And with these thoughts, let us go and, Lord, ask for His blessing upon this time tonight. Our Father, I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for being our most holy and precious Savior. Lord, I yield this time to Thee, and Lord, I need Your help to preach Your precious Word. That the Word of God would go forth and, Lord, it would do what only it can in our hearts and minds to draw us to Thyself. Our Father, I thank You for the grace that only You can bestow. Father, for those, if there's anyone tonight that has never settled their faith, they've never called upon the Lord for salvation, that tonight would be the night of salvation. They would receive the gift by faith. And Father, for those of us as Christians, and the thought of reaching out, it doesn't matter where the person is, who they are, from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, Lord, You're not willing that any should perish. Lord, may our heartbeat be Your heartbeat. May Your heartbeat be our heartbeat. Father, I thank You for all that You'll do. We yield this night to Thee. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. If you look here in verse 1, I yielded few. Remembering the fiasco of 40 years prior, Israel had gotten close. They had 12 spies that went to spy out the Canaan land. 10 of them came back and just whined and complained, it's too hard, and just murmured against God, against leadership. And they just began the majority, and they were influencers there with Moses. And as a result, their murmuring would end up taking the crowd and going away from God and not believing the promises that God had given them the land. You see, if we follow the crowd, we will not reach those who might be outside of our realm of influence. If we follow the crowd, we'll stay where we're at in the desert. But Here, Joshua sends two spies. He sends them out of the congregation of Israel without any public fanfare. He doesn't do any great, the spies are going. He doesn't do that. He sends them in covertly. And we find something here about this woman. And verse 9, and the spies, they come unto her, verse 9, and she said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She mentioned, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, the Lord, Jehovah, his name, his personal name in the Old Testament, the Lord hath given you the land, the self-existent one, the one God by whom his name is known, like you have a first name, and the Lord, as it mentions in the Scriptures. And but here are these men, they're staying at the home of a woman that would be noted as a prostitute. The law of God at that time in Leviticus chapter 21, verse 9, and the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profaneth her father, she shall be burnt with fire. That was the Jewish code. But God would use this Gentile woman to spare the lives of these men. And here they are scouting the land, scouting Jericho, and God is using an unlikely person, but a person who put her faith in God. Notice with me at the end of verse 11. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Her personal testimony. She says, we know what God did. And she says in verse 11, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Think about this. When something happens and you come up against a wall, and maybe you're a little kid, and you're coming up against a really, really big bully. And that bully's coming to just pound you, and you're just like, your knees want to give way. You're just like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. She said there remained no more strength, there no more courage. The men didn't want to fight against the Israelites because they knew that the fight they were against was not man, it was against God. Look at what God did, though, in her faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Rahab is an unbelievable woman in the Bible. God uses some of the most unlikely individuals. And He shows us His power and His might through them. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She put her faith in God and it saved her. Now she didn't do any sacrifices. She didn't do any good works according to Jewish law. She simply put her faith in God and she was spared. And that is the truth. We put our faith in God. People think, well, the God of the Old Testament, you have to do all these sacrifices and everything else. No, no, you don't. By faith, the harlot Rahab, she didn't perish because she simply believed God's word and believed God. And God. And then verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, same chapter, verse 6. She didn't do any works. She didn't do any actions. She just put faith in God and she would enter into the lineage of Jesus Christ by faith alone. You see, the Bible has always been by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God says you can't please Him apart from faith. Israel had the truths of God. They had the law of God as a guiding moral principle. And Rahab didn't have it. She simply saw what God did. She simply heard about God. She knew that God had given the promised land to the Jewish people. She knew that. It was already well known. And she just believed God. And that's God's mercy. And every person in her faith, if we'll read further on down, we'll look at this later, but just a little preview. Her faith would not only save her, but it would also spare her whole family from destruction. Anyone that came to her, if you would say her apartment or home on the wall, was spared from the destruction that would come upon Jericho. Her faith resulted in the saving of lives of others, physical lives. I don't know if they put their faith in God as well. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, we learn something so cool about this woman. Here is a woman that is a Gentile. Here is one with a reputation that you would not say, oh, she is the best church girl. No, that's not the case at all. And yet she enters, and there's other women that are mentioned in the Scriptures. Some of the women, they don't even give you their names. But the Bible sees fit, and God sees fit to mention her name, and she's mentioned actually multiple times in the Bible. There's something significant that she did. Her reputation from the past was not the continuing legacy of her life. This is the idea that if someone is, in the world might look, I'm a recovering alcoholic. The Bible says if you've come away from that, you're recovered and you're pure and you're a child of God. You're no longer recovering. You're victorious. And God takes this woman. This is just an amazing story. Verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. The great-great-grandmother of the King David was a Gentile whose previous life had been a prostitute. God doesn't look at your background for how you come to faith in Him. He looks at the heart that simply comes in faith. In James chapter 2, verse 25, going back there, as we were just in Hebrews, so Hebrews, James. James chapter 2, verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. The idea here, she displayed her faith. It wasn't her works of helping the men. It wasn't the works. It was her faith. To believe that these were the men of Israel. They were coming in to take the land that God had given and to fulfill God's prophecies. And she simply just believed God at His Word. And that's what is required for any person that comes to God, is just simply believe what He says in the Word. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there ought to be a change. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The truth is, when someone accepts Christ, there ought to be a change. Raymond and I were talking with someone this morning that was talking about a change after they accepted Christ by faith. They said, I don't understand it. There's things I used to do and other things, and there's a change, and I don't understand. It doesn't make sense when I accepted Jesus. It just changed the way I think. The truth is, because the Holy Spirit of God comes in and dwells you, you now have a new standard of what is right and wrong, but you also have a relationship with God. And when you begin to do wrong, the Spirit of God is saying, you shouldn't do that. You're going to hurt your relationship with Me. Because God's saying, I want to maintain that sweetness. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And this is exactly what she did. Can I tell you something else? Look with me at Mark, the book of Mark, Matthew, Mark, the second book there in the Gospels. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. I mean, she had turned from the idols. She had turned from the things in the land that would bring her the immediate joy, but she had turned to faith in God. She is aiding and abetting the enemies of her own people. Think about that. They come into the land as two spies. She could have turned them over to be killed. And yet she chose not to. And the same God that she chose, God led these two spies to the exact person and the entire city who would have faith in God. God led them there to spare their lives. And God would use the most unlikely person. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible tells us, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, the scribes and Pharisees, here are your very religious Jewish people, these would be your best of the best within the religious community. But they saw Jesus, saw him eat with publicans and sinners. They said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Jesus ate with those who would know their condition, not with those who are blinded by their own religious pride. Let me look at another passage of Scripture. I mean, this is just an unbelievable story. God can take the tattered past, the mistakes that we've made, and God can enter into the very lineage of Jesus Christ. Think about that. What can God do in your life? What can He do in my life? I'm not bound to the mistakes and the bad decisions of the past. I am bound by the decisions I make in faith to follow the Lord. And when I do, I'm victorious and God rewrites the story of my life. In Luke chapter 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One is self-righteousness. One is, I'm good. I'm okay. That's the Pharisee. The prayer, oh, I'm much better than this person. The other one was self-abasement, saying, God, I'm not even worthy of You, that You should have a relationship with me. And Rahab came to that position. And God can use anyone. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God can use any person for His glory, even if it's a tattered past. I'm telling you, this is wonderful with God. You can't undo the past, but you can write a new future with Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible tells us, let's look at verse 25, a little bit more context here. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. The world might despise you. The world might be against you. The world might recollect all the things you've done. But with God, God would use the apostles who were a bunch, I mean, the sons of thunder. I mean, these guys and Peter, he just spoke his mouth, spoke what came to mind. They were a pretty rough crowd, if you would say. And yet, these are the same people that God would use, as it says in Acts, to turn the world upside down. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 32, it talks about Jesus. The publicans and the harlots believed him. It was those who would realize, my life's not going the direction I want it to go. Jesus is the answer, and I'll just put my faith in him. This is amazing. In Matthew 9:12, but when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. It's the person that realizes my life is not right with God. I'm sick spiritually. There's something wrong on the inside. There's something, I'm going a direction in life and I'm kind of like trying to change the course of my life by beating my head against the wall, expecting a change, only to keep beating my head on the wall and seeing no change. It's the person that realizes, I'm a sinner. As I was talking tonight in that little story, that young man who's working his way towards the cross, and then understanding that I'm wearing some burdens in my life. I've got a guiltiness inside that I just can't figure out how to stop being feeling guilty and shameful. Luke chapter 7, verse 47. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, I hope this is encouraging tonight. And when you think about what God doesn't evaluate you or I as other humans do. He sees all of us in all of our filthiness. And yet He still extends. There in Luke 7:47, a story of a woman that she comes and she anoints Jesus' feet. Actually, I just preached a message on this on Thursday at the radio. And this woman uses an alabaster box. It is presumed that this box of ointment that she used, she broke and then put the oil on Jesus' feet to anoint him, was upwards of a year's wages. She would wipe and anoint Jesus' feet with the hair. And she would anoint his feet, but she first washed his feet with the tears that she had. There's a woman, for her to let her hair down was just immoral in the Jewish society. She was so thankful for what God had done that she just poured out her heart. Those tears came, and there was enough tears to actually wipe the dirty feet of Jesus Christ from the sandals with her own hair. Think about that. This is such an amazing thing. And here in Luke 7:47, verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And the truth here is that she recognized, man, I've lived a bad life. And Jesus says, you're forgiven. The church here is not going to be built by the religious crowd who are comfortable and cautious. It'll be built by those who go out and seek to win the lost. Those who reach, we cannot sit in ivory palaces and expect God to bless us. It was the publicans and sinners, as Luke 15 and in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here is Rahab showing us, showing us true faith and courage. God, Jesus Christ, sent out His disciples to go out and reach the lost. Can I tell you that in the lost, there are things said, there are actions that are committed, and you might be saying, that's probably not quite appropriate. But when we're all young, when we're little kids and we're little babies, we do things that people are like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be doing that. And we obviously, understanding the condition that their young child, you know, a young child might be at the table and they're picking their nose and they might be eating it and you're like, you know, like, that's not quite appropriate at the table. Not appropriate any time, let alone at the table. They might be talking about discussions and there's things that we've talked about at the kitchen table. And, you know, like we tell Eliana, that's not table manners to talk about that. And the understanding is, but here's a woman that God wanted to reach, and she was reached without any tabernacle. She was reached without any sacrifice. It was simply a faith in God, and she believed, and she became a child of God. Now I want you to think about this with her. Let's see if I have... Yeah. But she had to turn, in verses 2 through 7, she had to turn her back on those of Jericho. She hid the enemy and forfeited a future with Jericho. Look with me at verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. The moment she decides to not turn these spies over, she's turning her back on Jericho. She's forfeiting a future with Jericho. The moment in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he laid hands on that taskmaster that was brutalizing a Jewish person, he turned his back on all the wealth and the comfort of Egypt. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm going to tell you, you can live your life with pleasure, but pleasure will only last temporarily. You can do this, you can do this action, do this party, do this event, and it's pleasurable for that short period of time. And when it wears off sometimes, there's actions we've committed that we regret. And Rahab risked her own life to harbor those whom her government was seeking to capture. She would not have received these spies if she did not already believe that God of Israel was the true God. It would have been foolish to receive these spies. She lied to the men that came, which is not appropriate, but she believed in God, and here she is. She was a young believer. Now, she had potentially become a believer 40 years prior, but she had been in a place where there was no church, there was no tabernacle, there was no scriptures. She had to latch on. I mean, she's listed in the Hall of Faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Faith chapter of believers through the centuries, believers in the Bible times and through the centuries that placed their faith in God. And she's listed in the Hall of Faith chapter as Hebrews 11 mentions. And she realizes, I'm living in a wicked place. Not excusing her lies, but understand her infantile faith. She's still young in her faith. She's been all by herself. When you consider some things about the culture here, our faith would be weak as well. If here you are without church and without the fellowship of God's people, you're going to be weak. You're going to do things you shouldn't be doing. Here is a nation that has great abominations. Let me read for you a little bit of some of the cultural background on this. And this comes from a Robert Bowman. According to the Old Testament, the Canaanites and other tribes in the land widely practiced child sacrifice, incest, immorality with animals, and other behaviors that almost everyone in history, including today, rightly regards as unspeakably grossly immoral. First, after generations of the sort of moral degeneracy that characterized these people, it may be that even the smallest children were beyond civilizing. Apparently, even they were abused and forced to participate in obscene conduct, such that they would have grown up psychologically and spiritually scarred, and perhaps threatened to perpetuate the cycle. With all of the immorality, the STDs and other infectious diseases must have pervaded those cities, even to the children. May have posed a grave danger to the physical health of Israelites. Imagine some of the nations today ravaged by STDs and AIDS and by living more than 3,000 years ago with no access to even the most basic medical resources. Infectious diseases were ravaging these places, even the domestic animals. Rather, the Old Testament claims that it was necessary to wipe out in order to stop the cycle of perversity from repeating generation after generation in order to protect Israel from succumbing itself to the madness, an apparently accurate description of Canaanite culture. A dramatic measure was necessary to create a nation that retained at least some knowledge and worship of the true God, and God alone in some recognition, however limited, of His moral standards. A place that was filled with problems because of sin. You realize every person in that nation, just like Rahab, could have chosen to place their faith in God. She was spared, and so was her family. simply by faith. She had an occupation of work that was wrong. Her desire was to do right, to please God. And Paul dealt with baby Christians in Corinth who had a bad past. I'd like you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm getting closer to being done tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. The Apostle Paul dealt with baby Christians differently than he deal with those who were more mature. 1 Corinthians 3:3, for you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And here there's divisions. You know, I'm of Paul, I was baptized by Paul, I was baptized by Apollos, and I was saved through Paul's ministry, through Apollos, and they would say, well, I was saved by this person, so I'm better than this one. And there was all this strife going on, and it ended up leaving a lot of problems. And the Bible goes on and gives us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, go with me to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 6, not the next chapter, but 1 Corinthians 6 in the same book. The special note that I want us to take, we're going to read verses 9 through 11, but take note of verse 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. If he ended there, you'd say, oh man, I'm in trouble. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. God says, listen, that's what some of you were, not what you are. You know what? Baby Christians, spiritual infants, they came out of a wicked lifestyle, may speak some things, and as a church, we'll have individuals that'll come, and they might be young in the faith. Say things, do things that we might say, well, it's probably not right, but you know what? We have patience and grace with an understanding of moving forward to help lead them, help walk with them, right? We all, at one time, we were young in the faith. For some, if you've been saved for a while, we were all young in the faith at one time. If you're young now, praise the Lord. We're glad. Wherever you're at on your spiritual journey, we're always growing. But there's something about the youthfulness. There's something about when we're young in the faith. Man, you're just like excited that Jesus got a hold of you. You're excited of your faith. There's a fervor. There's a passion. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes when you get a job and this is a job you really, really wanted to get in, and you get in there and you've got a whole bunch of ideas and you just want to like, woo, you know, run forward, and you're just like all these things going through your mind. And I mean, here's a youthful fervor of this woman. And then verse 12, she says, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token. She has a desire. She says, listen, I want to save my family. She wanted to see her family spared from God's judgment on Jericho. She wanted an agreement from these spies that her family would be spared. The man in Mark chapter 8, the man of the maniac of Gadara. The man wanted to follow Jesus after he got the demons cast out of him. But Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. He says, go back to your people, go back to your family and tell them what God did. That's Mark chapter 5, verse 18. She cares for these spies, but she's still saying, please spare my family. The salvation of her home depended upon her obedience. Look with me at verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2 of Joshua. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou madest to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. If she doesn't believe what the spies tell her, her whole family perishes. She's got to do it exactly as God told her to do. The salvation of her home, the rescue of her family members, it depends upon her obedience to God. She had to listen to what the spies were telling her, that it came from God. She served the other believers. In Galatians 5:13, for brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And she serves them. And that service to these spies, enemies of her own land, results in her rescue and rescue of her family. And ultimately, many years before, she'd placed her faith in God, even though her reputation was not good. I love that 1 Corinthians 6:11 passage, and such were some of you. It does not matter where you came from. It does not matter the reputation you may have. God will rewrite it if you'll just follow Him in faith. You'll be obedient. Rahab was truly an incredible woman whose life manifested the true test of a believer. She loved God when the rest of her society feared and hated Him. Hated God. She had a love for God's people. She had a love for her family to be spared. She exhibited courage in helping others. God can do amazing things in the life of a person, no matter their background, if they will only yield themselves to God. The question tonight is, will you yield? As we come to the invitation period tonight, I just want to challenge you. God used an unlikely person. You know what? Stop evaluating your life. Other people think about this about me and whatever. Don't care what other people think. All you need to be concerned about is what does God think. And if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you're washed. You're clean. You're pure. But you must, first of all, if you've never done that, you have to recognize Jesus died on that cross for every sin I've ever committed. Every time I broke God's law, I have to ask Him to forgive me. And when I do that one time, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I do it that one time, you're forgiven. And then I can be a part of that group, and such were some of you. Man, God wants to do something in your life. If you just ask Him to forgive you. And Christian, an unlikely believer, there's people you might, others people, they might look really burly and kind of like rough. And I'm like, oh, man. And God's like, you need to go talk to them. I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to go talk to them. I don't want them to pound my face in. And God says, you need to go talk to them. And I go talk to them. And then I begin talking with them. And God's already been working on their lives. And they're ready to hear the gospel. And I'm like, oh, wow. God knows what He's doing. You know, we're not to look at people as people do. We're to look at God does. God says, witness, you witness. What can God do in a life? Man, this book, it changes lives. You think about an unlikely believer that God would use, that would be written into history. She would enter into the lineage of a great-great-grandmother to King David. He was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Man, God can do great things in your life if you'll simply first start with a step of faith, and then every step of the way in life, by faith, and watch God do a great work. As we come to the time of invitation with the music playing, I trust with heads bowed and eyes closed, you just pray and talk with the Lord, however He may have spoken to you this evening. And if you've never been saved, I'd love to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. If you're struggling in a way, I can meet with you and give you some scriptures and talk with you. And man, God wants to do a work. He wants to write the history of your life if you'll live by faith. Watch what God can do. As this music plays, I trust you do business with the Lord as you pray and talk with Him with heads bowed and eyes closed.
trust you're encouraged as you think about Rahab's life. We don't need to compare ourselves or evaluate ourselves as man does, but as God does. It starts by faith. And Christian, may we get the heartbeat of God to reach a world looking for hope and peace and light. And Jesus is the answer. And the truth is found in His precious word.